Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to this Bubba Show, Friday's Bubba Show, and of course, we got lots of stuff going on and lots of stuff to talk about. And I guess the first is extra. On Thursday, the markets went down 100. Oh, my God. What's going on? The world is coming to an end. I can't believe it. But actually, it was, fairly predictable, not real heavy action. And, eventually, some people will step in and probably want to take some profit. So, that certainly is not a major shock. I thought the action was interesting early Friday. Overnight, the markets were getting clobbered, and then suddenly, about 7 a.m. Eastern time, the market started to rally again. And hey, we're just really kind of whipping around right here. Not a lot to really get overly excited about or depressed about. I think you just continue to watch it, and of course, we've got the Caterpillar. Cat caught cheating. it's amazing on these, how these regulators get to these people, after the cat is already out. And I think it's kind of interesting when you think about it, where were they, 5 years ago when this was all taking place? And, I look at, again, my feelings about all this. I think it's all backwards, and unfortunately, that's kind of the way things are. We have a backwards system. When it comes to a lot of this stuff, and at the end of the day, this is where the excuse of doing it for the people is not correct, in my opinion. I think that we watch, we see, we notice, and of course, it continues to slide by, and then of course, the new talk with Jeff Sessions, and I think there's something really to take a look at here. Forget about Jeff Sessions. I mean, I don't think he did anything wrong. I think that we have news being leaked out. It's kind of like everybody holds together a little bit of news they can push out on somebody when they need it. And, possibly, because Trump gave such a nice speech, the left is starting to try to, get on him a little bit. And, of course, either way, I think there's much bigger issues at play here. One of the things that, went through this week kind of not in, it was news, but it wasn't huge news. And I really haven't heard much about it since was the servers going down for Amazon and for Apple. Those are not exactly small breakdowns, and that would create to me that there is something going on, and somebody out there is trying to cyber attack the United States. I think somebody's out there trying to cyber attack, a lot of these things. And I think that's a bigger problem that we're really not, I'm sure, I'm sure that the Trump people are doing something about it. Obviously, behind the scenes, it's not something that we'd want to see in regular news. But of course, the blame will, of course, go to Russia. And I wouldn't be quite so sure that Russia would be the ones to blame. I would think you might be looking at, this could be ISIS. You have to remember this is no longer the world of just muscle thugs. These are brain thugs that You know, if we go back to, you know, 9/11, I mean, the orchestration of that whole event was pretty intelligent. I mean, obviously, it was a terrible thing for us, but I mean, from a planning standpoint, you know, it was very sophisticated. And not only was it, you know, sophisticated for that, but it was also something that, you know, if you look at it, they had a financial goal as well, because they did short the market beforehand, knowing that when they did what they did, it was going to collapse the market. And what I'm thinking is that, you know, this could be one of those nations, you know, part of that group, because, of course, you know, Russia does not want to get into a war with the United States, as the United States does not want to get into a war with Russia. I mean, there is no winner in that game, especially if you start with nuclear. So, you know, those are both, I think, something that, you know, want to be more on the sidelines. And I guess it's just the flexing of the muscle one way or the other. But I think that, you know, ISIS and those people, they would love to get into a war, because they have no regard for life to begin with. So could it be them trying to do some of this hacking, trying to create some of these issues? You know, it's just something, again, to think about. I have no answer, but I have obviously theory, as many of us would have. And when I look at it, you know, again, I don't believe that, you know, Russia wants to be in a war. I don't believe that China wants to be in a war. You know, when you become, you know, one of the bigger nations, you're not really interested in going to war. Because again, there is no winner. So, you know, to me, it would be more logical that it would be somebody else who, you know, doesn't care. And that leads me right back to ISIS, because they could care less. I mean, believe me, in my opinion, if they had the ability to bomb the United States, they would. You know, and so there's just so many things going on, but this is something of a very serious nature that needs to be obviously addressed. And again, I'm confident that Trump will do, you know, his team, they will do a very good job at trying to figure all this out. But, you know, again, hacking, and, you know, there's things we do and things we don't do. And the other thing is, you know, I'm sure, listen, we know there's hacking going on, right? I'm everywhere. You know that we're hacking other places as well. I mean, this is a constant game that goes on. But I don't believe that we would see somebody, you know, brought out. And again, we know we like to blame Russia. And I'm not saying it's not. I don't know. Again, I have no knowledge of that. But in my opinion, it would make sense that it would be not them, and it would be somebody else. And certainly, I mean, if you look at the last administration, they did not want to have anything to do with military. So ISIS couldn't provoke them. But Donald Trump wants to take them out. So he could be provoked. This administration could be provoked, and it could be create something. And we'll see, you know, where it comes from here. But it is something that's very serious, and I'm sorry. I'm surprised it was not more on the front page of what's going on, because this is not a small thing. You know, these Amazon and Apple are not exactly, you know, the grocery store, right? So, I don't know, we'll see what happens. We'll check it out. And in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of the Bubba Show every single day. And of course, you can get tomorrow's Sporting Edge at LibertyTalk.fm tomorrow, and that's hosted by Xander and Bubba's Bottom Line, which is always becoming a big hit. Make sure you check it out at BubbaTrading.com. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be back after the break with more. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this beautiful Friday. A little chilly out there, but you know, yesterday I did, I'll call it an instant classic on long-term investing, building, maintaining, and protecting your portfolio. I'm going to share parts of that with you today, so let's go check that out, and we can help you work it out. And if you'd like your own recording of this, you can certainly email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. But here we go. Let's check it out. All right, and what's up, and welcome. Welcome to Tips for Successful Long-Term Investor or Investing with me, Bubba, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and great to have everybody here. We're going to have some fun. We're going to go over everything. I'll answer all the questions you have when we're done. Certainly, this is strictly educational, but unfortunately, I have to – here, you can read the disclaimer. I'm not reading it. Here, it's something about involving risk and all the other stuff, but I'm going to leave it up there for a minute. But anyways, you know, there's always a lot going on. And okay, everybody got it. You read it word for word. You can repeat it and recite it. All right, anyways. So I always talk about this. This is a solution. This is a long-term solution to a short-term problem. And of course, if you know me, you know I love cartoons. And I retire on Friday. I haven't had to save the dime. Here's your chance to become a legend. The guy talking to his financial advisor. And of course, you know, when you're building long-term, you know, it's different than trading. But many of us confuse the two, and always for the wrong reasons. And just a quick story, you know, don't let a trade turn into an investment, and don't let an investment turn into a trade. We'll talk more about that, but it's a classic. When those of us who delve into more than one thing typically have a bad habit of sometimes doing that. And that means that you had a trade, you love Facebook at 25, and it went right to 27, so you sold it, even though you intended on owning it long-term, and now it's 130, and you bought some other dog that's now out of business, but because you didn't want to take the loss on it, you meant it as a trade, but then you got to decide that the trade wasn't what you wanted, and of course, you ended up losing money. But anyways, I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. For those of you who don't know me, 36-year member, CBOE, CME, and CBOT, still currently a member of the Chicago Board of Trade, founder and author of Bubba Trading, Bubba's Guide to Trading Options, and his Bubba's Guide to Weekly Options, regular contributor of Fox Business, CNBC, Bloomberg, BNN, RFD, TV, Phoenix TV of China, and Kitco, and then host of the Bubba Show radio show on LibertyTalk.fm every day from 2 to 3 Eastern, and I was one of the original market makers in the SPX. So that's me. I know you guys know me, but I have to, you know, some don't. So I give you a little intro. But anyways, so today we're going to talk about building a portfolio. We're going to talk about investing. We're going to talk about derivatives a little bit. We're going to talk about compounding, maintaining your portfolio, dividends, protection, hedging, and questions. All right. That's all we're going to do. We're going to do it all. And, you know, again, there's going to be some that will be very basic. Some of them you'll know. But I'm a big believer that, unfortunately, we left out of our education system true financial literacy and really understanding what markets do, how markets work, and how, what's the best way to be an investor. Hey, Tom, how you doing? You know, we've got a lot of things. There's a lot of good things out there, and there's always something that we can be investing in. And, you know, one of the things we look at is, you know, we need to build. Now, you know, some of you are well set and you might want a little help, you know, going forward. Some of you are just starting. You know, again, it depends on where you are. It depends on where you are in your life, in your finances. But most of us don't have enough knowledge to really understand how to make it work and how to make the markets work for us, how to make investments work for us. And we tend to do too many things that become emotional that force us to make a bad decision. And that's always what we're worried about. But, you know, there's simple things. You know, just I have a couple of notes here. But, you know, like if you have a 401k at work, you should be taking the maximum amount that you can put in. I don't care what you have at home. I don't care what your situation is. You should be taking the maximum that they allow you to take when you have something like that. Okay? But we'll get into more of that as we go on. Now, there's a ton of different investments, and of course, it's putting capital aside to put it somewhere else. Now, one of the big things that I find is a problem with many is we try to make money too fast. We get involved in a lot of different schemes and scams, and, you know, it happens. But you need to stick to, you know, a basic methodology of what you're trying to do. And there's, you know, this is basically the core of things that you would invest in: bonds, stocks, currencies, gold, real estate, deposits, you know, some funds. Again, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And every time there's something new that just looks too good and smells too good, is probably not that good. And again, we you know, it's the age old Ponzi scheme type of attitude. And, you know, unfortunately, many of us get played into scams and schemes. And again, it's about understanding what you're doing. It's about looking for the right avenue and also determining who you are and where you want to be. Now, when you are investing, investing is simply what it says. You invest money that you're not taking back tomorrow. Okay. In other words, it doesn't matter how much. And again, if you're depending on your age, you should be putting away, I don't care if it's $20 a month, $50 a month. And I guarantee you, there's nobody on this call that can't scrape together $20 or $50 a month, at least. And that means missing Starbucks once a week. Well, maybe you ought to stay away from Starbucks once a week, because it's sinful not to take some money and have it working for you. Pay yourself first. That's one of the things we talk about. You know, as you put together your monthly budget. I know we know the government doesn't have a budget, but we do. Okay, so as you put together your budget. Okay, you put right in your budget that I'm going to put away $200 a month, $300 a month, whatever the number is. Okay, whatever it is you can afford, okay, to put away without stretching yourself, without knowing that you're not going to need it. Now, again, you can't put the mortgage payment and the car payment and everything else into an investment. That's what creates these market panics when people are overinvested. Okay. Commit to a monthly amount that you can live with, whatever that is. It doesn't matter if you stumble against with extra, then you can always put more in. All right. Now, I, for example, I have both of my kids. They're 20 and 21. No, sorry, 21, 22. And they both have been had a mutual fund since they were younger. And once they started to get money and work, they put away $25 a month, both of them. And whenever they get extra cash, they put it away. Why? Because when they're going to be in their 40s and 50s, they won't have to work. Now, obviously, many of us didn't do that when we were younger, so we have to make up for it now. But you have to assign an amount that you can live with, that you're not going to need the money tomorrow, and continue to build that. You can't make excuses. There is no excuse to this. You build, if you're budgeting yourself properly, you leave enough for a rainy day fund or whatever you want to call it. Okay. Now, there is money markets, T-bills, stuff like that, which is, you know, obviously those aren't very good at the moment, but fixed income, bonds, asset-backed securities, equities, stocks, derivatives, options, and futures. All right. Now, any of these are fine under certain circumstances. All right. I mean, I'm personally a big fan from an investing standpoint of the stock market.
And of course, I am a big fan of the stock market. I think it's a great investment vehicle. And of course, if you can hedge it and reduce the risk or take the risk out of it, it makes it even better. But we're going to come back with more on this Friday, this cold Friday in Chicago. But anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, LibertyTalk.fm. is the greatest station for all of your news, but especially to download The Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekend. So tomorrow you can get Xander and hear what he's got to say. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, but we're going to come back and learn more about taking care of our money. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on Friday, March the 3rd. I don't know why they moved the jobs number from today, but what the hell do I know? Anyways, here we are, and we are looking at long-term portfolios and taking care of our capital. So let's get back and listen and learn. Here we go.
Why? Because the stock market goes up 9% year over year. It pays dividends. There's a lot of reasons to believe. But again, there's different theories. There's different investing theories. And that's something you'll have to, you know, decide on your own. I will always give you my opinion as to what I would do. I mean, I obviously I'm a five sport athlete. I play them all. But I mean, my core is in real estate, my home and gold and in stocks. But I do have other investments as well. But again, those are things you can break up. And again, these goes back to your goals and objectives, which we'll get to as well. So derivatives, if you're not sure what a derivative is, you know, derivatives are a product that is derived from something else. Now, if you saw the movie The Big Short, that was derivatives on derivatives. But I mean, derivatives are a very tricky product. And it doesn't mean that you would not want to have something in the derivatives space. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't, you know, invest in, excuse me, what they call alternative investments. I mean, because there's no reason not to, depending on, again, on your personal wealth. All right. You know, if you're just starting, you're probably not interested in investing in alternatives. But if you've got, you know, some extra spec money or risk money that you want to try to, you know, kind of leverage up a little bit and try to, you know, hit a home run with it, then that's where you would look for some of these alternative space. And they usually come in the derivative type of markets, because those are the markets that do have those the potential big paydays, as well as the potential to go bust. So those are never something you'd want to put in, but you can really leverage those up. So you want to be careful. But again, derivatives are derived. Options are a derivative of the underlying stock. Futures are a derivative of the underlying exchange or the cash. And there's different types of futures. I mean, you know, there's agricultural futures, which there's a lot of people that do. They hedge their own stuff, but there's also a lot of funds that deal in the alternative space as alternative investments. But again, it's fine to be into, but it wouldn't be my first choice as an investment. That's not where I would go first. And of course, compounding your portfolio is by far the best, which goes back to what we started off with, which is if you're investing what you can afford that you're not going to have to take out, then you let it compound. If you're using dividend paying stocks, you use the drip programs. You continue to let the dividends invest and reinvest. Because again, the idea is Albert Einstein, the eighth wonder in the world. But if you all remember the story, and when you were kids, if you guys talked about the story, you know, give me a penny and double it every day for a month, and you know, would you make that deal? And of course, it ends up to be $5 million if you do it. But again, if you can leave it alone and work it, then it's gonna compound out. And you'll ask any good money manager, not any money manager, but ask any good money manager, what is the best thing that ever happened? And that's compound interest. So compounding your portfolio is huge, especially if you take the return of a stock market at 9% on an average of year over year. All right. So the point being is that you want to get assets that also can create other assets to go with them, and you can let them compound together, because it's that's the key. So if we look at so far the vicious circle, so now if we only invest what we can afford to invest, what we're not going to need, then we can leave it in there, we can let it compound itself and let it grow. But the problem is that many of us decide that we want to invest too much, and of course then we need the money for something. And then we got to sell our investment. And of course, at that time, the market's going down. So now we got to get out at the bottom. And again, it's a very bad, vicious circle. Now, things to know in investment, the commitment of funds to one or more assets to be held over sometime in the future, risk, the chance of actual return will be different from the expected return. Now, again, there is no such thing as a free lunch, as I like to call it. I mean, the bank is the closest, but at 1%, you're not even covering inflation. But, you have passive and aggressive strategies that you can use. And again, I'm a fan of using a blend. This comes down, again, you'll hear this from me a lot today, but it comes down to, where you are financially. What are your goals and objectives? Where are you age-wise? What are you trying to accomplish? And you can make decisions based on that. Now, you always have to have a core, or what I like to call case money. Okay, because my case money is money that I'm never going to, I'm never letting anybody touch it, right? It's there because, as they used to call it in the gangsters, my getaway money. So you have to have a core. And if you want to, if you have enough, and, pick a number. But I know this will get me through my retirement, but I want to fire up because I want to get to the next level. Well, as long as you know that mathematically have enough to get through, then you can do what you want with some of the excess. So why do you invest? Well, you invest for your retirement. I invested for two kids in college at the same time. You invest for, if you want to buy a home or a second or a third home. you invest for either a long-term goal, which would be your retirement, or short-term or medium-term goals, which would be either, cars, houses, education, whatever. So you're using different vehicles to do this and bring it here, bring it home for you. Now, when you're building a portfolio, all right, you want to assess your own personal risk tolerance, because there's different amounts of risk. And there was an old theory when I was younger, that they said, "Well, listen, you're young, you're making money, you can be riskier." And I go, "You know what?" And I was riskier. I didn't miss a trade. I didn't miss one loser. All right, I found every bad deal out there and fired them up every single time. But at the end, what I found out is that had I had been a little bit more conservative, it would have mushroomed a lot faster. Fortunately, I made a lot of money, but at the time, I could have had a lot of access, but of course I kept firing it in and I was extremely risky. And I think that I had told both my children, I'll just put it this way. I told both my kids, it's not worth the risk. There's not enough there to take care of the risk. And, consider how you're going to, your asset allocation, where do you want to put it? Because it would be different. Develop a plan and take a long-term view. Diversify. You guys know that if you've been through the hedging class, that I don't really care. Diversify is not as important anymore, because we can actually protect an investment today. But again, I still believe in, I still believe that you should own a little bit of gold. I'm not a all in gold. I'm not an all in stocks. I'm not an all in real estate. I think the core is real estate, metals, and stocks, and then the rest. All right. But you can look at different things. I've never been a big bond guy ever. I'd rather be in stocks myself. But, you know, some want to use bonds. And again, some use, you know, municipals, you know, all kinds of different types of investment vehicles. And all you want to make sure is that whatever they are, they're solid. And solid doesn't mean that they're only going to make money, because we don't know that for sure. But in other words, you know, if you go into a bond deal, for example, you know, are you going into a very high risk bond deal? Are you buying bonds in Venezuela? All right. That you're probably going to get defaulted on. Or are you buying, you know, strong? You know, were you buying bonds in New York City in whatever year they were going bankrupt, which were pretty strong? So those are things you got to look at when you look at these different deals that you'll see. Sell the losers and let the winners ride. And again, I'm not a big fan of selling anything. All right. Now, but one of the things we do want to make sure is if we do have a stock that is I call leaking oil, you probably want to look to enter. You want to look at, first of all, why is it going down? Is something changed? Because we are technical investors, and excuse me, let me rephrase that. We are technical buyers or sellers, but we're fundamental investors. In other words, I'm buying a company. I'm looking at a company because I think they're going to be in business for a long time, and I'm going to be able to grow with them. But I'm not going to buy them until I can prove to myself technically that it's became a buy. I don't care what their fundamentals are. All I care about is what, the fundamentals will not make me buy anything. If I don't get a technical read to buy that, I'm not buying it. I don't care who it is. And again, I use the example often of Apple. I mean, you know, Apple, when it was 700, the whole world was buying it, and it was never going down again. And before you knew it, it was 350. Don't chase the hot tip.
So, you know, when you look at these stocks, these markets, again, you want to look and buy a company that is strong fundamentally, but you don't want to chase it up or overpay at the time that it comes out. That is something that it is extremely important. Now, again, you're not going to be 100% right all the time anyways, but at least give yourself the best opportunity. It would be very similar to right now, you know, if you like the financials, you might be just overpaying a tad up here, and I don't think you have a technical reason to be a buyer up here, but they would be on your list looking for an opportunity later. All right, and that's just something that you think about. In the meantime, I got to think about taking something out here for a break. And, of course, libertytalk.fm allows you to download the show every single day. And, of course, tomorrow you get to download The Sporting Edge with Xander. Of course, they both play live as well. In the meantime, we are going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be back after the break with more of how to invest for the long term. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we're having some fun, and we're doing a little bit of education, which is always good. And as we went to break, we were talking about don't chase the hot tip. And, of course, that's a must for everybody. But let's get back to it right now. Here we go.
Now, fortunately, there isn't as many hot tips as there used to be because, you know, before those computers, there were hot tip the tip of the day. Don't sweat the little stuff. Again, you know, in your investing account, you should not be looking at your stuff more than once a week. And that would only be to do some updating, and that's it. You should not be looking at your portfolio every day. All right? I mean, I'm just telling you, it's silly. It'll cost you. Don't overemphasize P.E. ratio. I mean, if you want to have a P.E. ratio, Amazon's a ridiculously bright P.E., but, of course, it keeps going up. And there's stocks now that are trading into low P that keep going down. It doesn't matter. Price to earnings is important in the long term, but it has nothing to do with today or tomorrow. And there is not an exact number for any one stock. It's, first of all, what is the industry standard? And then where is your stock? Make sure, you know, the company's competitive advantages will last. Make sure it has, you know, competitive advantages. Again, things that you would look for when you're looking to invest in companies. Look for, again, we want to enter on a technical basis. There is the fair price is if it's a technical buy, and you want to hold. All right, we want to hold these for the long run. Now, again, I'm a big fan of hedging, but even if you don't hedge, you want to be able to stay in the game and not be forced out, which goes back to what? Don't invest what you can't afford to not to, that you're going to need. because if you're going to need it, you better not invest it. Plan on living a long time? Harness the power of dividends and compounding. Avoid emotional biases by sticking to a plan. Staying invested matters, and diversification works. All right. Now, again, I know these are simple things that you've heard before, but we're now going to put them together so that it makes sense and you can follow it. So if you do your research, now there's in today's world, there's, I don't know, 50, 100 sites that'll give you screeners or whatever. But, you know, I look for stuff. Me personally, I only buy stocks now that pay dividends. You know, for my retirement account, I only buy stocks that pay dividends. I do not buy stocks that don't pay them because I'm not interested anymore. Now, again, it doesn't mean I won't trade them, you know, but I don't own them. And you know, I just don't believe in not being able to get paid the dividend, even though the dividend is my own money, which we'll talk about that a little later. But I like to have that ability to have it pay for itself and continue to compound it up. You know, we've talked about run the stars and sell the dollars. Again, you just have to, monitor. That's why you look once a week. You look once a week to make sure that you don't have a stock that has had a fundamental change. Like maybe Caterpillar's going to have a fundamental change. Now, again, I didn't follow the whole story, but I don't think they will. But again, there are companies that will have fundamental changes all of a sudden, and there's a reason to sell. And then you're not really concerned where you just want out. All right. You want to be a little bit contrarian when you're investing. You know, if you're looking for a good company and it's selling off, it's probably a good buy. You know, if you're looking for metals, you know, and they're puking on gold, hey, probably a good buy. Real estate, you know, if you bought some real estate in 08, probably a pretty good buy. But you're looking, if you're investing, then you're not worried about the day-to-day momentum, the day-to-day movement. You know, it's one of the hardest things to do as an investor is to not look. Now, I truthfully have not looked at a statement, and I can't tell you how long. I mean, I know about what I have. I know what's going on in the market, but I don't look at the individual stocks because, you know, I do have somebody that watches that in case there's something that goes bananas, but I don't look because it makes you do things that you probably shouldn't be doing. Again, it's an emotional game. Now, you had stocks, mutual funds, municipal bonds, treasury bonds, alternatives, real estate. Again, those are categories that you can look at. Now, there's REITs and there's MLPs, and some are very good and some are not. You know, I don't like things myself that have a lot of management fees that go along with it. All right? I don't ever, you know, it's kind of like my feeling on these leveraged ETFs. I don't like people taking money out of my pocket. You know, I understand there's fees, but I don't like it. So I tend to stay away from a lot of that stuff, even though the dividend is so enticing. But remember, dividends are a lot of the times the amount of risk that you have to take. Now, when you're starting to build your portfolio, you've got to set goals and priorities. So, you know, what are your most important goals? Do you have a specific timetable? You know, what do you want to achieve first? Can I afford to realize all my goals at the same time? Am I willing to make long-term commitments? What risk am I willing to shoulder along the way? Now, these are things you have to define as you build, because that's going to affect the type of investment you're going to make. You know, in the universities, you know, even in the collapse during the, you know, 08, you know, a lot of the universities did not get hurt that badly, and they actually were able to make a lot more money later. And one of the reasons is because they are trading in asset classes that aren't necessarily affected. They're creating what we created with our hedging portfolio is the compounding endowment type of model. It was designed after the universities, but see, they'll trade, you know, they got so much money, they can put a lot of it into things that are not liquid. But they'll have a schedule out, and you want to look at things for yourself. Like, if I do something for my mom, now, you know, she's got money, and she's got me, so she's never going to be ahead. But, you know, we try to live off of her money. And when I do something that's going to be illiquid, I have to define the time of how long it's going to be liquid, so I know that she's going to be okay when it's going to mature, obviously, if it doesn't go broke. But, I mean, so when you're scheduling out what you're investing in, make sure that you're, you know, if you're saving, you know, partially for retirement, partially for colleges, partially for blah, 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 then you better make sure that at certain points, at those benchmark times, that that money is going to be liquid. Because the worst thing that can ever happen to anybody is that you have to sell at the bottom. You know, all of a sudden, oh, let's see, I need that money on March 2nd of 2007 or 2008. No, excuse me, sorry, 2009, right? And if that was your schedule, oh, everything's at the bottom. Yeah. So that's one thing you have to look at and understand all the time. All right. And these are things. So you're not just buying a stock and saying, oh, it pays a dividend. You got to figure out where you're going to be. So if you have some investments other than just stocks, you want to look for, you know, when is this going to mature? When am I going to, you know, when am I proposing that I'm going to need some of this money that I'm investing? Okay. So that's basically the building of it. All right.
And of course, we'll come back next week with the maintaining, but the building is an important part of it. I think there's some key takeaways. You know, no matter where you are financially in your life, you can always put money away. And I think, again, I mentioned it, but, you know, if you're a Starbucks person, go to Starbucks one less time a week or twice. Make one lunch at home a week. You know, skip a beer or whatever, a cocktail. There's a lot of ways to do it and get there. And again, what you are missing out on, if you're not, is you're missing out on the art of compounding your portfolio. You're missing out on the significant opportunities that you get from letting your money work. Remember, as the movie said, money never sleeps, and it doesn't sleep, and you know it doesn't always work for you. But if you have it invested, you've got a much better shot. And of course, if you're investing money that you can afford, that you're not going to need tomorrow, then it will work for you, because over time, markets will work for you. So just some nice things to keep in mind. And of course, the best thing to keep in mind is BubbaTrading.com, which is where you can get Bubba's Bottom Line, which is a weekly video podcast. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm is where you can get the Bubba Show every day. And of course, tomorrow you can get the Sporting Edge, now hosted by Xander. But in the meantime, everybody have a great weekend. I always appreciate having you here, and it's fun to do the show for you and with you. We'll see you back here on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend. Thanks so much. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you later, everybody. Good night.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.